Welcome to The Connected Life. The Connected Life with hosts Travis and Carrie Fry is all about helping you live a more connected life. They want you more connected to God, self, spouse, family, community, and to the world at large. It is their belief that the more connected you are, the holier and healthier you will be. So stay tuned to The Connected Life with your hosts Travis and Carrie Fry as they explore all facets of what it means to live the connected life.
Welcome to The Connected Life, a ministry of Crossroads Counseling on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ. I'm your host, Christian Counselor Travis Fry. The Connected Life is all about intimately connecting with and loving both God and others. If you normally listen to us, you'll notice that Carrie, my wonderful wife and co-host of The Connected Life, is not with us today. Normally we do our show together, but she is currently tending to our son, who just had his tonsils removed. And I know there are probably many people out there who have either themselves gone through that experience or who, as a parent, have had their kids also had their tonsils removed. And so she is with him, and he is recovering nicely. Basically, that means that you have me 100% today. So it is a beautiful Sunday morning, and I am so glad to be with you, talking to you today. Last week, if you tuned in, Carrie and I both shared with you three steps that you can take in your life to create positive and lasting change. Three steps that would help you to grow as a person, in your faith, relationally, emotionally, just overall. And I just wanted to briefly go over those in case you missed what we talked about. But the very first step that I shared was the importance of getting connected. And of course, this is The Connected Life. And what we talk about is having deep, personal, meaningful relationships with others, with God, with your community. The importance of community and connection. As we look at Scripture, we being my wife and I, even though she's not with me today, as we look at Scripture, we see just how important it is for us to have that relationship and that connection with the body of Christ. And so the very first step in really experiencing growth in your life and all of those different facets that I just talked about is to get connected. It is really the heart and the passion of this ministry, because what I believe is that the more connected you are, the holier and the healthier you will be. We all need that foundation from which we can launch, we can go out, to the world, we can share the good news, we can share the gospel. But we have that safe place where we can come back, where people know us, they believe in us, they support in us, where we are not alone. And at the center of all of that is being connected to God, truly knowing Him as your Lord and as your Savior. And so getting connected is the very first step. And we talked about some important things in terms of finding a connection circle. And basically what that is, it's like a life team. It's a support group. It's a small group where you come together and you study Scripture. You worship God. But you also take the time to really get to know each other's hearts, to share your story within that group of people. And you also have this focus on the world around you, both the community of faith, but also the lost, especially the lost. And really focusing on connecting with them and bringing them into our family of God. And so we talked about how one of the ways you can get connected is to form a connection circle with people that you like, people who are trustworthy, people who have that same growth mentality or that same growth mindset, and people who are comfortable with vulnerability or authenticity. Speaking of vulnerability, that was the second step that we talked about last Sunday in our show. The idea here is that you are open, you are transparent. People really know who you are. You're not hiding from yourself. You're not hiding from God. And I say that tongue in cheek because really we can't hide from God, but sometimes we like to think we can. And you're not hiding from others, but you're open and you're vulnerable and you're allowing and receiving all of the good that God has for you when you're in a group, like a family of God, when you're connected with other people. And so you have to get connected and you have to be willing to be vulnerable with others and to be vulnerable with yourself. So the bottom line here is this: Jesus's unconditional love and unwavering truth became essential ingredients to our growth. And to receive that unconditional love and to have that unwavering truth, we have to be vulnerable. We have to be open to receiving it from God and receiving it from the body of Christ. The third and final step that I talked about in terms of getting or experiencing tremendous growth in your life was finding that mentor for a counselor or a coach. Of course, this is what I do for a living. Crossroads Counseling is my private practice here in Scottsdale and in Phoenix. And every day we work with individuals, we work with couples, we work with families, and we help them to experience the kind of growth that I'm talking about here. All of us need that person who can help us to see the blind spots that we have. All of us need someone who maybe is a little bit further down the road or a little bit more mature. They've been there. They've done that. They have wisdom that we can seek out. The Bible talks about there is wisdom in seeking out the wise counsel of others. And so that is the concept here. We just need that counselor. We need that coach. We need that person who can really come alongside us, who will support us and who will believe in us, along with that team of people, that connection circle that really is for us and with us, and that gives us that combination of grace and truth, of love and honesty that will help us and compel us and encourage us to really grow into being more like Christ. So those three steps are what we talked about last week. And those were the three steps to really start experiencing growth in your life right now. It was to get connected, it was to be vulnerable, and it was to get a counselor or a coach or a mentor, someone who can really come alongside you. What I want to talk about today is how to argue with your spouse and when. I'm going to say that one more time in case you didn't hear it. What I want to talk about today is basically how to win an argument with your spouse. So listen very carefully because you're going to get some really good stuff in this conversation. If you're a guy and you're listening to me right now, the best way to win that argument with your wife is just to admit that you're wrong. You've got to accept that no matter how hard you try, you're just simply not going to prevail. That's right. You just have to simply admit that it's all your fault. Apologize even if you don't believe you have to. I mean, after all, guys, as the old saying goes, happy wife, happy life, right? I can see some of you probably are out there shaking your head. I don't know about this guy. Well, let me go on here. If you're a woman, the best way to win that argument with your husband is just to remind him, hey, you know what? I'm always right. It's best not to argue with me because you know that I am always right. Come on now. You know that women are right and us guys are wrong here. And if that doesn't work, here's what you got to do. You got to bring out the big guns and you got to threaten to withhold love and intimacy. And I will guarantee you that no matter how stubborn your husband is, he will eventually cave if you do those two things. Okay, you guys got me. The gig is up. I hope you get that what I'm saying is really tongue in cheek. I am joking here. I don't claim to be a comedian, but that was my best attempt at a joke. This is really not a talk about how to win an argument with your spouse. In fact, if your mindset is, I want to come out as a winner in an argument, and my goal is to win the debate or win the argument, then truly, you've already lost. Because it's not about being correct or right. In fact, the goal in arguments really needs to be about bringing resolution, increasing understanding, and really getting into a place of connection, and then moving towards change, whatever the issue or the dynamic or the challenge it may, you may be facing. And so what we need, or maybe what the focus needs to be in that argument, or what the goal needs to be in that argument, is really to move towards connection, closeness, change, and understanding. And so with that in mind, what I want to do is just talk about a few what I call rules of engagement that will help you and your spouse in those conversations and those arguments to really not win the argument, because the truth is both of you win when you end up into that place of resolution and understanding and connection. The goal is to get to that place, not to win the debate, not to win the argument. By the way, if you're just tuning in, I'm Travis Fry. I am co-host of the Connected Life Radio, the show that you're listening to right now. Normally, my wife is with me, and we do this show together. But she is not here. She's taking care of our son right now. And so, this is the Connected Life Radio with just Travis Fry on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ. To learn more about the Connected Life, the best way to do that is just to go to Facebook. And if you type in Connected Life Radio, you're going to find our page, like us, interact with us. Hey, even ask questions. And if there's something on there that's good, that's relevant, we'll take that question and we'll develop that into a show. And we'll talk about whatever that topic is on the radio. If, on the other hand, you are looking for counseling help, the best way to do that is to go to CounselingPhoenixScottsdale.com, CounselingPhoenixScottsdale.com, or you can call us at 623-680-3486. So I just got done talking about how the goal in an argument with your spouse is not to win. That's absolutely 100% not the goal. The goal is to get to a place of understanding and resolution, of connection and closeness. And so with that goal in mind, here are a few guidelines, a few rules of engagement for you and your spouse. The very first one that I have is for you and your spouse to speak in the first person. Now, I work with a lot of couples every day, virtually every day. You know, I'm sitting across from three or four different couples, and I'm really digging deep with them, getting to understand who they are as individuals and who they are as a couple. And this is one of the biggest pitfalls that I see. Instead of speaking from the first person using I statements, we people often, especially when you get heated, triggered, you know, you get into that whole fight or flight mechanism, we really go on the attack, and we usually launch out with a you statement. You do this, you do that. You, instead of I feel, or I think, I want, I need. And when we take it and we speak from the first person, we talk about what we are thinking, what we are feeling, what we are wanting or needing, it really helps to de-escalate the conflict. And it helps to shift those blaming or attacking or critical statements that often come with, you do this or you don't do that. So that's the first rule of engagement, is speak for yourself, speak in the first person. It just really helps things from getting into a full-blown argument. Another pointer here is to avoid global sweeping statements such as always and never. And I really learned this from one of my professors when I was an undergraduate. And he talked about how, well, actually, whenever we were talking about our experiences, whether it was in our family or relationships, and whenever one of us would use always or never, he would stop us and he would say something like, you got to flag that. His point was, those are those statements that just indicate black and white thinking, which is a sign of immaturity. The reality is, and I'm not going to go too deep into this, but there is a lot of gray in this world. There's definitely some things that are black and white. Hey, Jesus is the Son of God. That is real. He is real. The resurrection is real. His power is real. The Holy Spirit is real. There are a lot of things that are black and white, but there are some things that are gray that we have to wrestle with. And so when we use those always and never statements, especially in that conversation or argument with our spouse, it just triggers defensiveness, and then it escalates the conflict. So when you combine those two things, you speaking in the second person you statements with one of those global sweeping words such as always and never, it usually sounds something like this. You always forget to call me on your way home. Or, you never remember to take out the garbage. I want you to notice what you feel inside yourself when you hear a statement like that. Even though it's just me talking on the radio, right? My guess is you have some type of visceral reaction. Ah, gosh, you never remember to do this. Or man, you're always like doing that. You always do that same thing right there, right? It just causes us to get defensive. And it causes us to just really react. And usually what we do is we fire right back with another, hey, well, you did this and you never do that. And here we go. Now we're starting to ratchet up. The argument's starting to escalate. And we're just really now starting to spin. And we're moving further and further away from understanding, resolution, connection, and change. The gloves are off, and we're just in that full-on, full-blown fear cycle, which I've talked about in other shows. So you have to work really, really hard to avoid those you statements and to avoid those global sweeping statements, those words always and never. As my professor would say, flag that. Flag those words. Hey, if you're just tuning in, I'm Travis Fry, Christian counselor at Crossroads Counseling Center. We have offices in Phoenix and in Scottsdale. And this is the Connected Life Radio. I am flying solo today. My wife, Carrie, is taking care of our son, who is recovering from having his tonsils taken out. And this is Faith Talk, 1360 KPXQ. To learn more about The Connected Life, visit us on Facebook. Just type in The Connected Life Radio, and you should be able to find us. You can like us there. You can post your questions, post your comments, and you can even listen to other past shows that we've done. We've actually been on the air for about a year now on 1010 KXXT, which is 1360 Faith Talk sister station. And this is our first time being on KPXQ, which we're really excited about. By the way, if you're listening for counseling help, you can visit us on our website at counselingphoenixscottsdale.com. That website again is counselingphoenixscottsdale.com. All right, back to our topic here. So what I'm talking about right now is how to win an argument with your spouse. Of course, that was just my way to kind of bring you in a little bit, kind of tease the topic, because the goal is really not about winning an argument with your spouse. The goal is about getting to a place of resolution and understanding, connection, and change. And that's what we're focusing in on right now. And so to that end, what we just talked about was the importance of speaking in the first person. Start with how you are experiencing your emotions. Start with what you want and what you need. Avoid starting that sentence with you. The other thing is, watch out for those global, flag those global sweeping statements such as always and never. Okay, now the next pointer here, and this is a huge one because everything else that I share after this really hinges on this one right here. It's slow down and tune in. Slow down and tune in. Here's my point. When the conversation turns into full-on conflict, it's time to take a time out so that you can tune in. You're just reacting, right? You're reacting to the criticism, the anger, the nonverbal body language that goes on in these kind of conversations, and we all do it. Let's get honest. We all do it. You're just reacting. And so what you want to do is you want to take that time out so that you can stop reacting and you can start to choose how you want to respond. Because when you're reacting, you're just in your fight or flight, freeze or flee. You're not really thinking. You're just going off, right? And that's what ratchets up the escalation. We want to focus in on responding. The idea here is that when you tune in, you want to be able to slow down those emotions, really listen to what you're feeling or what's happening deep down inside of you, but also what may be going on inside of your wife's heart or your husband's heart. What is he or she really feeling deep down inside? So it's okay in the heat of the moment for either one of you to say, oh my gosh, like we're in this dance, we're going back and forth, we're fighting, we're arguing, we're getting stuck here, and this is not being productive. In fact, it's getting worse. It's escalating. Let's slow this down. Let's take a time out. Here's the key thing about that time out. If one of you initiates that, you must have an agreement that you're going to come back to the topic, you're going to come back to the issue. The timeout is not to avoid the whole situation altogether. It's not to do the ostrich in the sand technique. In fact, I've seen couples, and I've worked with couples who've done that, and they never come back to it, or one of them never wants to come back to it. They just want to time out and just try to bury it. It's so, so dangerous, so don't go there. Also, what happens is the other person tends to feel like, well, geez, they don't care. It's not important to them. They time out. They want to time out, but they never want to come back to it. So sometimes in those situations, that person is like, well, screw your time out. Forget about it. We're going to keep going. And so that's why there has to be an agreed upon, we're both going to time this out. We're going to work together to slow it down, and we're going to tune in and try to listen to what's going on underneath all the anger and the frustration. What's really happening in our heart? By the way, when I look at this, I think Jesus was really good at this. Of course, he was God, and he could understand and know our thoughts and everything like that. But he was good at slowing things down and speaking, tuning in and speaking, which is another part of it, but speaking and listening to what was really happening in people's hearts. Looking past all of the defenses and the smoke screens and the reactions that we do. And so that is the goal here, my friends. It's to really slow down and tune in. Listen, this went by really, really fast because we are now quickly running out of time. So what I want to do is wrap things up. Next week when you tune in, I'm going to finish my conversation and give you the rest of my pointers here, my rules of engagement, on how you can come, how you can navigate through those conversations in a more effective way and really reach a place of resolution, understanding, connection, change. As I wrap things up here, I just want to remind you that if you're looking for counseling help, you can visit us on our website at counselingphoenixscottsdale.com. You can call us at 623-680-3486. And if you want to learn more about the Connected Life Radio, go to Facebook and just type in the Connected Life Radio. You'll see me and my wife, Carrie, there. Finally, remember to get connected and stay connected, Arizona.